This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 3rd of December, 1954. The title of this lecture is The Importance of Two-Way Communication During Opening Procedure by Duplication. This lecture is 39 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Bill says, well, that's luck. That's life. So he's going to get a job. He's going to get a job, he says. And so he writes in this manufacturing company that's been applying for salesmen, and he says, what you people need is a better sales manager. What you need is a better sales program. Everything you're doing is real bad, and I am the man for the job. And of course, he doesn't get the job as salesman. Well, that's luck. That's luck. What's the matter with this guy? We're talking about an emanation point, aren't we? We're talking about a person, he writes letters, he greets you in a silly fashion, he does this, he does that. Let's examine for a change the cause end of this line. You all too often will examine only the effect end of the line, you see? Because there's where interest gets centered. Let's examine that cause end of the line, and let's discover something of tremendous interest about it. That cause, if it desires to get anything like an ARC effect at the effect point, must take into consideration that the effect point is often quite incapable of mocking itself up as cause. Let's take a look at that. See? Here's cause, distance, effect. Now, to get a perfect duplication, it's necessary that effect mock itself up in some fashion or another, you see, in order to give a duplication of this cause over here, in order to receive the communication at all. I'll give you an example of that. You're an American. You're over in France. Frenchman comes up, and he says, blah, 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 come on. And you say, huh. You weren't an effect at all, really. Not the kind of effect he intended. He wanted you to put your baggage on the van or something. And you sure get a kind of an only one feeling when you wander around doing this a lot. And people come up, they don't speak English. They don't speak deaf and dumb. They don't speak Boy Scout semaphore, nothing, you know. They come up and they throw a lot of verbalization in your face, which is supposed to mean something you don't comprehend it. Furthermore, you are acutely aware of the fact that their customs, their ways of doing things, are probably unfathomably strange. For instance, to go into an interesting point as far as France is concerned, you're an American. Your idea of plumbing in a French idea of plumbing are two entirely different things. The whole problem of trying to walk into a civilization is actually the problem of being able to mock yourself up. You don't willingly mock yourself up as a Frenchman. You don't willingly mock yourself up as part and parcel of all these strange and outrageous customs, such as plumbing. You don't mock yourself up in many ways, and therefore you remain to a very marked degree out of communication. This would only be natural, wouldn't it? Here's somebody with a tremendous difference of custom and so forth, and you don't know about this. All right. Now, you can understand this quite easily on the effect point, but how about the cause point? Does the cause point ever have to mock itself up in any way? You've said it. Much more so than the effect point, because the effect point mock-up is being assisted by cause. But the cause point mock-up is not being assisted. And it's this fact that it's not being assisted which causes people to think they need help and so forth. You know, they get used to being over here on the effect side, and they get over here on the cause side and they say, where's all the help? So they invent an analyzer and a computer and a reactive bank and all kinds of things in order to be over here on the cause point. Because the cause point has to mock itself up just like the effect point or subordinate effect points, which are not really capable of any great change, which are not capable of mocking themselves up, will never be communicated to unless cause mocks himself up. Get the idea? So in order to deliver effect, cause has to be able to mock himself up on a much higher self-determinism than effect, because effect is assisted in the mock-up by cause. When the Frenchman, being cause, walks up to you and says, garble, garble, yop, yop, that will be 18,000 francs, or that's, you see, he's had breakfast, comment, and parsley and a blonde, let's see now. That's $82,000, that's 20 francs. You just don't comprehend this at all. But you're sure assisted, aren't you? He is asking you to mock yourself up as a complete fool. Because he obviously is one, but he's assisting this, you see? You have a model. Farmer Brown comes in and he says, well, yeah, a clear-cut college Kansas accent. And you're assisted to the effect that all you have to do is copy what he did, you see? See how that is? That's real cute. But you, in talking to him without seeing him, would be completely, completely adrift unless you looked at him first and then became the effect of his first communication, which is his appearance. You saw, although they weren't addressed to you, his appearance and mannerisms. You made your effect self the effect of appearance and mannerisms, and then you talked to him. You say, however they talk in Kansas. Now there is the crux of the matter. How are you going to walk in as an original cause and then mock yourself up in such a way that you'll be understood? Huh. That's a bigger problem, isn't it? Problem which requires imagination, the ability to change, to vary, and particularly, and let's put our thumb on this one, the ability to be. The ability to be, that's what it requires. Much more so than an effect. The ability to be at the point cause is necessary for a good communication. You have to be able to be. In other words, you have to be able to mock yourself up. Now, if you instantly, addressed by this Frenchman, were to mock yourself up as a French official, were you able to do this, you see? And so forth, we would find out that it was all on the house. Actually, something could come out of an interchange of this character. You all of a sudden say, garble, garble, come on, and so forth. And what are you doing without your identification papers or something of the sort? He would say, oh, oui, oui, merci, thank you very much, no checky, adios, or whatever they would say in French. You get the idea? You have to mock yourself up as something he recognized as cause, but what kind of a second sight would this take? What does this effect recognize as cause? All you have to do, then, is, of course, mock yourself up as what this effect point normally recognizes as cause, and, of course, you're on the cause end of the line, on a seniority level, which is a different thing, slightly. The ability to be, the ability to be. It is, therefore, the cause end of the line, which you should examine, because that's where you're trying to put the preclear. You're not really trying to put the preclear at the effect end of the line. Now, if you understand that real thoroughly, you see what we mean by the increase of self-determinism. We mean we're increasing this preclear's ability to be at the cause end of the line. When you first get him in auditing, you came in the auditing room, he says, why, you recognize that he is not quite at the cause end of the line. In fact, he's probably not at the effect end either. He's probably halfway between the two points, being a communication particle. They get that way, by the way. They drift away from the cause and they get on the line itself, and they are a particle on the line. A lot of people walking down the street, if you walked out and wrote an address on their chest and put a stamp on their forehead and put them into a mailbox, they'd be the happiest people you ever saw in your life. They're a communication particle. They are a message. They don't even just have a message. They are one. The exhausted messenger throwing himself off of his horse and dying at the king's feet as he announces the defeat, of course, is being his message. There's any reason why anybody should kill horses or messengers. Just tell some king that he lost a couple of chunks of real estate. But they used to do it all the time, you see. In other words, these people could very easily be communication particles. It's not cause and effect at all. Now, actually, the decline is simply this. From able cause to fixed cause. And then they start writing out on the line. From an effect which can receive to an effect which has to receive to an effect which won't receive. See, desire and force inhibit. And then they drift out on the line. See, so you get, eventually somebody would get hung up avoiding all causes, avoiding being cause, avoiding anything else which was cause. You get the Indians going around saying the reason the buffalo haven't come back is because of the dogs. We'll have to kill all the dogs. See, they avoid the cause. They can't look at a white man anymore and a Winchester 1876 repeating rifle. They just completely lost cause. Next thing you know, why, everybody's subscribing to the ghost dancers. Ghost dancers were people who had shirts, and they were just common, ordinary agency shirts. They said on them, made in Worcester, Massachusetts. And they take these shirts and they bless them, you know, draw magic symbols on them. These shirts, of course, would stop a bullet, observably it'd stop a bullet. And these people went out and made communication particles themselves by charging U.S. troops unarmed. Interesting. You get the idea, though, see? I mean, they eventually drift out on the line. Whatever they do, they finally get on the line as a particle or a symbol. They go from cause into the state of symbol. They go from effect into the state of no symbol, but they get on the line. They slide around. They get mass, meaning, mobility. Now, there's nothing real bad about this, but let's restore this preacher's ability. When you walk into the room and you're fairly nicely dressed, you know your business and so forth, this fellow is incapable. He is absolutely incapable of addressing you physically or verbally in any acceptable light. See, he just is not going to address you in some acceptable line that makes an easy communication. It's because he can't change. He's fixed. The fact that you were there, that the warden of a prison walked in, the soda jerk down the corner walked in, the president of the United States walked in, would find him in the same fixed state of address. See? Well, it wouldn't make any difference who approached him to talk to him. We would find him fixed. He can't change that. Well, if he can't change, he's expecting all the time that he's going to be the effect, isn't he? So we see this pretty clear sitting there. Well, go on and audit. I'll be the effect. Oh, I'm the effect. I'm the effect. Nothing happening. I'm the effect. Get the idea? That's why they sit there. They can't change. They're unwilling to be cause. So it's up to you to get them so they're at least conscious that they are moving something, that they are not being moved. That's why you get them around touching walls and so on. But the essence of this, you see, is contained in duplication. This person cannot duplicate you as he comes in, therefore he can't come talk with you, but that's true of him in all of life. He recognizes his inability to duplicate life, and he recognizes that he can't get on a two-way communication because he'd have to take a glance at life like he did at Farmer Brown or like we did at Farmer Brown, mark yourself up somewhat as life and then communicate to it in such a way that it then was assisted in its receipt. It will receive your messages if it recognizes that you are a communication source. see. It will receive your messages if it recognizes you as a communication source. How does it do that? Well, you have to be like it. In other words, you have to assist its duplication. Now, this does not mean that an auditor has to get down on the floor and grovel and duplicate all of the weird and bizarre things that a psychotic would, you see. Because actually, all you're duplicating there is a circuit. But certainly, an auditor could be called upon to duplicate any average motion that the psychotic made, any average action that he took. Psychotic folds his hands, so auditor folds his hands. Pretty easy. He sees then a physical gesture being duplicated. Well, all right, what's the common denominator as we go down this line here? What's the common denominator? Common denominator on this inability is duplication of all this communication difficult. It'd be the inability to duplicate. So much so that reality could be called and rephrased and redefined as the degree of duplication. Reality equals degree of duplication. Affinity is actually the distance in the particle size, ARC. In communication, of course, is cause distance effect. The degree of duplication is what makes reality. You are as real to those around you as they can receive you. That's a fascinating thing. You know, did you ever get some kind of an inkling around your family that they weren't quite receiving what you were talking about? Well, that's because they fixed in their minds a long time ago the fact that they weren't duplicating you. You were little, see? You were different in size. This all by itself would be sufficient to make a family incapable of receiving a child or a person's data, information. All right, let's look at that. Grandpop's a fairly successful manufacturer, and this grandson he has, he's seen this grandson. Well, been running around while Grandpop was in his middle years and so on. And kid goes off and studies promotion, sales promotion, with all the verb of youth and so forth, and a good background and a good inheritance on this whole line. Boy, he could give Grandpop cards and spades on the subject, you see, of promotion. He moves into Grandpop's sphere of activity, puts a suggestion, memo on Grandpop's desk. He's working in the place now. You think it ever gets read? Well, that's just from Jimmy. You know? Guy goes out and starts to work for another company, and it starts out selling the whole field. Wipes out Grandpop. He didn't know what he was talking about. But Grandpop has already conceived the idea, you see, that the smallness is not a duplication. And that being the primary idea connected with this individual, then he knows that all he can receive really from this individual is gaga, and give me a sucker. See, you know, give me a nickel. Something on this order would be his basic communication line with this child. So afterwards, he could not then take the child's communication line different seriously. But the child changes, grows up. The main impatience that you ever had with parents or anybody like that around you is their basic idea, as far as you're concerned, is that you were small. And you come around later, and parents are getting on in years, and they're ailing, and you say, why don't you do? And you give them some sensible suggestion, you're going to help them out, or something like that, or why don't we do so-and-so? And you find out that almost anything you suggest is unacceptable, because they know they can't duplicate your size, because they know, if they know anything, that you're about a foot tall or 2 feet tall. So wherever they're stuck on the track, as far as you're concerned. Well, mama very often gets stuck on the track at birth, see, with the child, first view of the child and so forth. And after that, the child just doesn't ever have a sensible solution. But the child is better adapted to the modern environment than mama is. Saw a wonderful example of this. Saw a little girl whose advice was actually invaluable. This kid was very alert, very bright, really could look. And this little girl practically ran her mother's life for her. And her mother had no suspicion of this at all. No slightest suspicion of this. But the little girl was also bright enough to be a covert communicator, as far as Mama was concerned. And she would give Mama acceptable communications. The suggestions which she gave Mama always came from Mrs. Brown. It's going to be a great shock someday when Mama discovers there is no Mrs. Brown in this board. Doris Thomas, thank you, sir. The kid was utilizing another mock-up in order to do all the communication and advice and what they did about life and had for breakfast and so forth. Kid always had to attribute to some other source, you see, in order to get communication through. But this kid was running Mama's life. There was no doubt about it whatsoever. All right. An auditor sits there working, having a good auditing session or something of the sort. He may be under the delusion that the preclear is getting bitter. It may really be a delusion, you see, that the preclear is getting more and more acceptable to society, and it may be that the preclear is getting simply much more like the auditor. You get how this would be? Well, the entire field of psychoanalysis is built upon that. If we could just make the patient like the analyst, why, then we'd be all set. They have to swap valences or go through some magic rite, as I was taught early, in order to accomplish this. Well, that's not the goal of the auditor. The goal of the auditor is to return a little more self-determinism to this individual. Well, how many dozen ways could you run duplication? How many dozen ways could you run it? You could run it the basic way, highly stylized, very pure technique, and simply run it like that. That is the most effective of all the processes we know on duplication. Book and bottle, they call it in Great Britain. You walk from one to the other and back and forth. An auditor sometimes fails with this process, though. Why? Because he doesn't keep up a two-way communication. He doesn't keep up a communication. He lets the preclear go on to an automatic endurance run without actually finding out what the preclear really feels, really expresses, what it's all about, what the sensations are. This doesn't mean that the auditor even vaguely varies his auditing commands. The auditing commands are always the same. They are given in the exact order they are given on your command sheet. No difference at all, except this. Let the preclear talk to you. Get that as a difference? If you can't get in at the cause point, communication line, you're failing. So we make the preclear talk. How do we do this? We give the exact commands. We use the exact commands. This is one thing I really got to teach you, to keep continue a two-way communication while you're running any process. Without actually varying the process or coming an inch off the process, right there, you throw in on the communication line what is known as dunnage, the stuff you put in to keep the cargo safe in a ship. And this guy goes over, you know, woodenly, picks up the book. You say, look at it. You say, what's it look like? Book. Yeah. Something wrong with this voice communication. There's nothing at all wrong. You see, you've got to get those commands in there just exactly in the order that they are. You've got to get into the book, the Bible, to the book, to the Bible, to the book, to the Bible. Just exactly what he says, book. Are you sure that's a book? Well, yes, I am. You busted him out of his automatic. By failing to demand to be answered, by failing to insist that the action be knowingly accomplished, and by failing to listen when the preclear he's picked up the book for the 565th time, and all of a sudden the whole room goes purple. He says, "My God." And you say, "What is its weight?" Cut your throat, you've just cut the preclears. See, he says, "The whole room." He says, "What's the matter?" Sometimes they won't even tell you. "What's the matter?" You say. "It's purple." "What is?"
"The room is all purple. Everything purple."
You say, "Is that so?" Well, how is it now? Purple. "Oh, okay, I feel. Oh, not so bad, I don't feel bad about it. It's okay. All right, well, what color is that book?" "Oh, yes, it's a purple book." Now, you see something happens to him. For God's sakes, find out what it is. You see that he's really going through it like an automaton. For heaven's sake, kick him out of it. By doing what? He's told you for the 55th time, "It's cool." I'm not above saying to a preclear, find out if the process works better this way. That's the only way I'm telling you. You see, don't vary your sequences of the process or commands at all. But you're not above putting some two-way communication in there, see? Getting him to say something, so on. All of a sudden, you can make him describe things. He says, "Cool." And you say, "What do you mean by cool?" "Well, cool, that's what I mean by cool." "Oh, come on. What do you mean by cool?" "As a matter of fact, it's not cool, it's hot." For 55 times, you see, automatically he was saying, cool. The idea? He wasn't feeling it anymore. He was still running a time 55 times ago. Now, if you don't make him communicate, if you don't make him describe, if you don't take him up, and if you don't listen to him, it all goes on in automaticity. And it just goes on and on and on. And I swear, if you run it on a total automaticity, if you really get him running on an automaticity when I'm running, I bet you could run it for 250 hours with no change in the brake line, except you get tired legs. Get the difference there? Now, the key of this whole thing is each moment must be a new moment. Each moment must be a new moment. Each action must be a new action. And gradually he peels apart these actions so they are different actions. So each moment is new, and that's the primary manifestation of opening procedure by duplication. The newness of each moment. So when he says, he just gets repetitive. He gets repetitive. You get suspicious. You say, "What color is that book?" That's the command you gave right exactly at that point. You understand? What color is that book? What color is that book? "Oh, it's purple." You say, "Is that the only color on it?" "Describe it." "Well, there's some green on the back, and some gold over on this side. Yeah, and some black on the fourth. Here, what do you know?" All these colors. All right. You could ask him, describe it anytime. I've even gone this far with opening procedure by duplication. You keep saying it's a book. Will you please describe it as an object? New frame of reference. "Well, it's a book. I won't let you describe it anymore as a book." It's like that. Describe it. Well, I don't know what you're getting at, but it's... Well, it's a rectangular. It's a rectangular object. Made out of paper. Cloth. It's cloth on the outside. I never noticed that before. You know, books have cloth on the outside. He's back into an interest in the process. Get him going through again. Only don't take ever a mechanical answer. Don't ever vary the process, you understand? Interlard. That's not varying the process. Interlard the process. Communication. Discover what that book seems to him now. What that bottle seems to him now. What is the weight of the pill? Come on now, what is the weight? I've seen boys run it, by the way, with two typewriters or something. It's incorrect. They have to be two dissimilar objects. Pick you up and pick up a great big typewriter. That's part one of the objects. Back and forth, picking up this typewriter. My God, Brinkley died. Brinkley got a lot stronger, though. Now, you could even get that on automatic. But the second these responses become monotonous, you know that your preclear is simply settled down to being an effect. And you're trying to get your preclear to be cause. So let's make him originate communications to you concerning the object. That doesn't mean that each new communication has got to be new and original. But it does have to tell you that he is experiencing that instant and not some other instant. See? Opening procedure by duplication pulls apart all the moments on the time track. See, it pulls them apart. Because of the duplication. Unless each moment is a new moment, then you don't have that occurring. See, if he goes over, book, bottle, book, bottle, book, bottle, boo. It's a book. What is a book? Well, it's a word. Well, is that an object you've got in your hands? Well, yes, come to think about it, it's not a word. Very different realizations come through to a preclear. Mm-hmm. You've got to learn how to throw dunnage and auditing, extra comments, new demands, insistences. You've got to know that your preclear can talk, and he must talk. And he must describe what is happening to him. And when something happens, he's supposed to call it to your attention. And you're supposed then to pay some attention to it. That doesn't mean that you go off the process, but for heaven's sakes, let him tell you about it. Do you know that preclear after preclear has been just about ready to exteriorize with full perception and has realized this with a... You know that they'll exteriorize on being this processing or on opening procedure by duplication? They will. And he's just about ready to exteriorize. And he wants to tell the auditor about this fact. He's just about to do this. And the auditor gives him the next auditing command. See, isn't interested. And the moment the auditor's not interested, bang. I've seen guys who've just gone dead in their head through not being permitted to communicate by the auditor. The auditor's not there to suppress communication on the part of the preclear. Remember that an obsessive outflow is not a communication. You have to know that. But actual communication on the part of the preclear must not be suppressed by the auditor. So there is the trick. And the real place it shows up is an opening procedure by duplication, because you do have to keep to the exact process. See? He does have to go repetitively through these exact motions. But you have to make sure that he is experiencing these things, one to the other. And you do that by... talking. You try it out and you'll see what I mean. And all of a sudden you'll find opening procedure by duplication working for you much more speedily than it ever has before. It'll work fast. And don't let me ever catch anybody here looking out the window when a preclear has an enormous piece of news to impart. He's got something to impart. Don't let me find the auditor looking out the window, auditing on a sort of a crank basis. thing, we'll go over to the book. I'll touch that wall or something like that, without letting the preclear do it. Because the preclear gets a tone drop as a result of this, which is a zoom. It'll actually stick him in his head. It'll do all kinds of things. I've seen it turn off perception. One time, a preclear had everybody, somehow or other, he'd made up some kind of a system way back in the past someplace, that everybody he had was categorized. And during auditing, he all of a sudden was sitting there and he found himself looking at about 1,000 bodies of one kind and another, all of which were in proper niches. And this is the strangest thing he had ever seen in his life. It was in full color and the man did not ordinarily have any Vizio at all. And he was looking straight at this terrific category of past bodies, in fact, simile forms. And he was very startled and he wanted to tell the auditor about this. Tried to, and the auditor simply gave him the next auditing command. And this preclear quit. Just like that. And his vizio went off, he went into apathy, and so forth. I know because I got the case immediately afterwards. And my God, did I have to work to get that damn tone drop out of there. And I finally did get it out by spotting spots where the man had been audited or treated. The thing was sitting on top of a tonsillectomy. Various things happen. You see, the universe represses communication. The only thing that you can do wrong in this universe, according to this universe, but actually the only thing you can do right is communicate, see. And as a little boy, he was trying to tell the doctor that he was about to throw up while the doctor was taking out his tonsils. And the doctor just went in then and really started to take out his tonsils. But there were 1,000 locks like this immediately underlying one of these. He starts to communicate, so it stops him like this. And it just zoomed. God had just plain show you how to do this, teach how to do this. We make sure you spend some time. This opening procedure by duplication, letting the preclear talk, demanding the thing really be described, keeping it out of the machine category, making each moment new and fresh, that opening procedure by duplication, and never varying its auditing demands. You see, you can say other things than the auditing demands, but that doesn't give you any license to vary the auditing demands. You can say new and different things, but you can't say a new and different auditing. See, so the auditing demands are all the same, but you just make sure that the communication is going on. The auditor is not being run, you know. That's what most auditors forget. They sit there and kind of go into the apathy of going through the monotony of these steps and make a big lot of communication. Two-way communication must be interwoven with all auditing. And when an auditor is really taught to stay on the process and yet two-way communicate, boy, can he audit and does he get results. Wham! Okay.